I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio, Pacific Watch with Jeff Bliss, and there's joy in California, the reopening of the theme parks. In space, no one can hear you scream. Jeff, a very good evening to you. What is that movie, In Space, No One Can Hear You Scream? It comes to my mind.
That movie, good evening, by the way, John. That movie was Alien, the original Alien, which is, an epic, legendary piece of sci-fi. But, in this weird state that we're in, it seems to apply, especially when we're talking about theme parks now. So there seems to be a new push in order to get the parks open. The Park Association, which is a pretty important association or lobbying group here in California, saying, look, well, maybe the way we can open it early is if we make sure nobody screams. And everybody just finds that laughable. I mean, what are you going to do? Have scream police around the tracks, around the roller coasters? It's never going to happen.
So they're actually thinking this through. Every Hollywood movie I've ever seen that involves a roller coaster has screaming effects, right? That you hear the rumbling up, and then you hear the high-pitched screams of people coming down. They're banning what we've been taught to do on a roller coaster. They're asking us to get on a horse backwards. Is that it? Is that the idea?
And what's strange, it's not just movies, but here in California, you get hit with commercials on TV and radio for theme parks all the time. And not a single one seems to go by without people, screaming on what seems to be a roller coaster or a thrill ride. So this is going to be hard to, unteach an old dog old tricks.
Yes, James Madison didn't think through the First Amendment, Jeff. There should have been, in addition to freedom of the press, we needed freedom of screaming. All right.
That's
now,
right.
The good news is the parks are reopening. Six Flags, when is it reopening, and what else is reopening, and what does that mean for the California economy?
So Six Flags Magic Mountain, which is a large theme park on the north side of L.A. County on the way up the state there, they'll reopen for their pass holders on April 1st and 2nd before they open their gates for everybody on April 3rd. Kind of a nice treat for folks who've been waiting for them, the loyal customers. And the other parks seem to be opening shortly after that in April. Disneyland this morning said that they're looking for an April 30th opening, so they get a little bit longer. But they have a little bit different approach they have to deal with. They have all kinds of foods and hospitality, hotels that are connected to them. They have actually two theme parks next to each other, Disney Adventure and then also Disneyland. So they've got a little bit more work to do. Plus, it's always said that their quality control is a little more stringent than the others.
Cleaning up, Jeff. Those parks have been out in the cold. Well, they've been out in all temperatures since March when they shut down. So that's a lot of maintenance. That's a lot of trimming. And especially for Disneyland, don't they come up from underground and take care of everything automatically? They've been waiting underground for a year before they were given the freedom to go clean it up?
That's the legend. That's the urban myth. There are tunnels under Disneyland so you can move things and people back and forth. But, having worked at Disneyland and having been in it all hours, I can tell you that maintenance and repair work is a 24/7 operation at Disneyland. When the tourists or the guests are in the park, they're not seeing the maintenance as much as you would in other times. But at night when all the guests are gone, then you're seeing, just people everywhere painting, doing repairs, woodwork. Now, the problem is that, yes, there hasn't been the same amount of wear and tear while the park's been shut down. But at the same time, a number of the employees at the park and as well as at other parks have been laid off or put on, some sort of leave. And so some of the work has had to be prioritized, and they have a lot of work to do. And again, as I said, Disney has kind of different standards. They have not just a ride they're going with like some other parks do, like just a roller coaster, but they have themes, and they have essentially what is a set. So that's what they always say when you're a Disney employee. You're on stage if you're out in the front where the guests are, and that's how they treat it. Everything is this big set piece, and they want to make sure everything looks exactly right.
We'll look forward to the photographs of how they handle the social distancing. One of the joys of going to Disney World, I've never been to Disneyland in California, is that you get in these long lines with excited children. It's a joy. You can take 40 minutes or 30 minutes. There's always a little sign, 20 minutes to the top. It's just a joy, and we'll see if social distancing takes away. Now, the children who are going to Disneyland, they are now to be met with schools, Jeff? How to read this? They're opening schools, but does that mean they're actually going to allow children into the classroom to sit with their teachers?
Well, some school districts in the state are going to allow that with certain precautions that are taken. And other school districts are going to not have the teachers in the same classroom. They'll still be doing their instruction via remote, Zoom, whatever you want to call it, and the students will be there in the classroom. Now, the good thing is the kids will be able to socialize with each other, but it seems strange because in some cases we're only talking an hour or two a day or even a couple hours for an entire week. But we're seeing this as kind of a compromise or, you know, a step-by-step process of getting them back in school. A lot of this has been dictated by the teachers' unions in the state, particularly the big ones like Los Angeles and San Francisco. But there is a big move to just get everybody back and get everything going. You know, the CDC or health officials in Washington said, hey, we don't have to make it 6 feet. We'll make it 3 feet distance. And we find out the plexiglass shields may not give the desks may not give the same protection they thought it did. But, you know, it's a work in progress.
Screaming is banned at parks. And now I hear that cheerleading is banned at the universities, at the colleges. What is a game without cheerleading?
That is an interesting point. We're certainly seeing that at the high school level where we have high school football playing right now in California. And the immediate decision by authorities in California was, okay, we can have football, but no spectators, only limited spectators, no cheerleaders, limited cheerleading. You can have cheerleaders if they're back from the football field a certain distance. So you have parents fighting with authorities saying, this doesn't make sense. These people aren't getting sick if they're outside and they're socially distanced. Why can't you let them cheerlead from the far sidelines? And so this is back and forth. Again, work in progress, but still a lot of controversy around just having kids in school or having them play outside activities.
Graduation from 2020 has been postponed to 2021. You report that USC is going to hold an in-person graduation. Are other universities following?
Yes, there are other universities speaking about it as well. Some are still in the planning process because commencement exercises can take months, if not an entire year, to plan. They're kind of finding out, boy, we can get back together now and have these in some fashion. So some universities are looking at, the same old standard practice they used to do. And others are talking about, well, let's rent one of the local Major League Baseball stadiums, socially distance everybody, limit the number of people who can come in there, and at least it'll be some, you know, semblance of what we had before.
The schools are opening in some fashion. Jeff was careful to say that it's a many-splendored opportunity. However, we go to the two large troubled cities of California, San Francisco, the Bay Area, and Los Angeles. Jeff, the trouble in San Francisco is not entirely the pandemic, although that weighs on everyone, the administration. The trouble in San Francisco is that the administration or the people of San Francisco have not solved the homeless. What do we know about the homeless population? Are they provided any services during the pandemic? Has San Francisco got a plan after the pandemic lifts to deal with the thousands who are on the street?
They have been, trying out different ways to reach out to the homeless during the pandemic. They've not been successful at all. Of course, as is the case in San Francisco and other cities like it, people have used that as an opportunity to fatten their department's budgets or to get more bureaucrats hired or involved. And so it has not been that efficient. There are a lot of people very upset with what's gone on in San Francisco. The head of the city's homeless department agency, in fact, resigned. And so that now you've got that very important department for the city in a tumult. And so people are wondering, what are we going to do? Is it going to be worse than it was before? And the truth is, as this pandemic has gone along, people have lost their jobs and their homes. It has been a problem that has been on the increase in San Francisco, and all the problems that are attendant with the homelessness crisis have just been growing.
San Francisco is the report in the Chronicle. San Francisco will likely move into the state's orange tier soon, next week perhaps, which means offices this week, outdoor bars without food, live entertainment, and festivals may reopen with restrictions. There's a couple of caveats there. Jeff, the concern we had last year was, before the pandemic in 2019, that large conventions were turning away from San Francisco because of the street disorder. I don't see anything in this reopening that's going to improve the situation of the economy of San Francisco.
I agree. We're seeing people, businesses leave the city in droves. People are not re-upping on their leases. And I spoke with a contact who works in the convention and hospitality business, and her view of this was that everybody in their industry are saying you know, San Francisco is just, it's kind of a lost cause right now. Nobody wants to go there. The crime is on the uptick. The homelessness problem, city services are a problem. So they're saying if we are going to have conventions or conferences at all, that's not where we're going to send them. We're going to send them to a place that's much friendlier. On top of that, you've got a city and a state that are increasingly unfriendly to businesses, and they're saying, well, why do we want to give our money to them if they're just going to keep coming after us for new charges, more regulations, more taxes, you name it?
Los Angeles, you report recently that the freeway traffic is nearly returned to the height of freeway traffic, but then you send me a photograph of gas prices in Los Angeles. Jeff, did I read that correctly? Was that in rubles or dollars?
Yeah, you'd think it was in yen because it's so high. The photo you're speaking about were gas prices jumping above $5 a gallon yesterday. And that was at all levels, you know, from the, as they used to call it, low test on up to the premium. We saw similar ones in the photos I sent you from San Diego yesterday as well that were in the mid to high fours. And this is a problem that's on the increase here in California. And we will see it continue to grow as Sacramento looks to gas taxes to be increased to help them fund other programs.
Seattle, a note about Seattle, because it's hard to track the situation, the battling situation there. Seattle also has a homeless problem, and it has a disorder problem. Is it looking to solve it on the other side of the pandemic?
Not really. Their solution in Seattle seems to be keep going after businesses and taxpayers to fund programs. They're not really helping with the problems they have now. At least we're not seeing any results, any positive results. In the meantime, they're ignoring other problems and programs that need to be done, like infrastructure. They have a big need for one of their main bridges to be repaired. I think the cost is in $7 to $8 million for repairs. And that money is not being channeled there. It's being channeled to programs that aren't working. So you have a lot of people in Seattle and surrounding areas who are very concerned.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We're going to turn to the politics of California, the recall petition for the 40th governor, Mr. Newsom, and what is to be done. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio.